This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
We are awaiting the Mueller report to be released. We're hoping and praying that the Cathedral of Notre Dame can be saved, but it's not looking good. And, of course, the question that we're all wondering right now is whether or not Joe Biden can speak Spanish, because he's got a Spanish ad out just in time for his campaign to be made fun of. 855-839-1210. The Zioli Show on Twitter at Rich Zioli and Facebook.com/Zioli Show. Well, look, you know, obviously, if you're just joining us, there's a terrible, catastrophic fire engulfing the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. It's 11 o'clock at night there. It's 11 p.m. And they have been fighting this thing all day. They don't know if they can save it at this point. They're optimistic they can salvage the Notre Dame main towers, so that's good. They're now saying that, which is that's very optimistic. So that's an improvement. Just a moment ago that came out. Optimistic they can salvage Notre Dame's main towers from flames. So if they can do that, that would be amazing. The spire collapsed in this big inferno. But now they're showing some optimism here that they can at least salvage the at least one of, if not both of the towers, which would be amazing. We'll keep you posted on this. Right now, there's no indication it's terrorism. There's no indication it's anything. Nobody knows. Nobody has said. They've heard it might be a construction accident, but they have not said that definitively, and they don't know. Obviously, there have been Paris has been targeted in the past. The Cathedral of Notre Dame has been targeted in the past. And so a lot of people right now are hoping for answers and try to figure this out. It's Holy Week. If you are a Christian, you understand particularly the significance of this happening this week. For Catholics around the world, Notre Dame was a place, fellow Catholics, I'm a Catholic as well, a place to come and think about so much of the history of the church. If you're a historian, and not even somebody who's religious necessarily, but the history of the Notre Dame is amazing. How kings were coronated there, and Napoleon Bonaparte was coronated there as emperor. And there have been it's just an amazing, amazing place built in the 1300s. And you hope to God they can save this thing, because the artwork, the cathedral, the organ, the bells. I mean, there's just so much history around it. In addition, of course, to being one of the most significant buildings in the Christian faith. And, you know, the Vatican, which obviously is the owner of the Cathedral of Notre Dame, being it's a Catholic building, the Vatican has issued a statement. They're very sad. You know, clearly this is one of the most, I'd say, important buildings in the Catholic Church. I think we could all agree on that point. So we hope that this is something that can be saved. And the area around it has been evacuated in the case of possible collapse. President spoke earlier today, sending his prayers and thoughts to everybody over there. The latest information that he had at the time was that this was just something related to the renovation, and it was a construction accident. But again, they haven't really said that definitively. I mean, they haven't said that definitively, and nobody's really said anything since. Really just not talking about what happened here. Now, earlier in the show, we mentioned Shepard Smith lecturing everybody on, you know, you're not allowed to speculate on anything. He had on a French politician. He brought him on the show, and the French politician started to speculate, and Shep Smith shut him down. We'll play that for you in a minute. But I think it's the reality of this day and age in which we live is that you can't just dismiss it outright to think that, you know, it was just to come out and say definitively one way or the other, but to dismiss that it's a possibility, I think is crazy. They were targeting this cathedral a couple years ago, at most recently, and the world is a dangerous place. And obviously, Paris has been, as have other cities in Europe, has been a target of terrorism. And there's nothing to indicate that it is. Nobody's taking credit for anything. They don't have any evidence of anything. But I also think it's a little ridiculous to just shut somebody down and say, you know, you don't even have a right to pose the question. And of course, he could have done it in a way that wasn't so lectury and arrogant, but to just say, we just don't have the information right now. But to act like it's not even a possibility that this could have been a nefarious plot is ridiculous. Just the same way to say that it absolutely was at this point would be ridiculous. Like, I mean, literally, anybody who says one way or the other what it could or could not be at this point is crazy because you don't know. So to come out and say, oh, it's definitely not this, or to come out and say it definitely is this, at this point, it's way too early to say, which is also very alarming that we don't even have any indication of what this could be. As many people have said, that gives it more of a credence to the fact that it was maybe then just an accident. Maybe just a, you know, freak accident in an old building with lots and lots of wood, and certainly capable of the fire spreading very, very quickly and very easily and very fast. And that could be all that it is. So we don't know. I don't know. You know, I mean, I went there. I've been to the Cathedral of Notre Dame. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. We went to Paris a few years ago. It was always one of those places in the world I felt like, you know, you had to visit, you had to see. Yes, it's Holy Week. And as I mentioned, there are people in the world who don't have to be Christians to be very sad over the loss of this very historic building. Very, very sad. This is one of the oldest buildings in the world. So, and the significance of this building, both from a religious and a political stand, is just huge. And as a Catholic, let's face it, you know, the Catholic Church hasn't had it easy lately in terms of news. This doesn't help. And also being Holy Week, it's, you know, it's just to sit back and watch something like this happen in Holy Week, the day after Palm Sunday, when all probably, you know, thousands of Christians and Catholics descended on Paris, probably to maybe go to the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And then to see something like that is also incredibly heartbreaking to think about this week of all weeks. Not that it would ever be easy anytime, but, you know, there's a point of that when you say, oh, man, like, this is Holy Week, and to watch one of the most important religious buildings burning here is very, very sad. And also enlightening at the same time, in a way, of just wondering how these things happen and, you know, how, if it is just a freak accident, how it could be. And if it's not, God, what does that mean? You know, what is that? If the worst is possible in this world we live in, the one thing I've always learned in life is to never assume that it can't be something nefarious. I think we've all learned that too. Unfortunately, in this world, we have people who are dead set on causing violence against Christians and violence on the streets. And luckily, there's no indication that that's what this is. But I would say for the people of Paris who've experienced this directly, they're probably afraid today, I would think. I mean, my heart goes out to them. I would think if it were us, and we had one of these, you know, one of our most important religious buildings burning, I think people would feel sorry for us. I think it's also important to remember that for people in Europe who've experienced terrorist attacks recently and directly, not that long ago, to feel the kind of fear of what they're feeling right now. It was just yesterday that the story in the Economic Times said ISIS was plotting attacks across Europe, according to a British media report. And yesterday, there was a story that came out, and I'll share this with you, from thejournal.ie. I'm not familiar with this publication, so. France jails jihadist woman, 22 years old, accused over foiled terror attack in Paris. This was from Friday. One of the three women allegedly involved in a foiled plot in 2016 to blow up a car packed with gas canisters near the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was today sentenced to 8 years in prison by a French court for earlier offenses. So her trial had just wrapped up. She had just been sentenced. She was accused of encouraging would-be jihadists to go to Syria and participate in attacks against France between March 2015 and June of 2016. She used Telegram, which is an encrypted messaging app widely used by jihadists to communicate. The judge said that she was recruited by Omar Diouau, also known as Abu Barrow, an influential jihadist of the Islamic State group. And then the story yesterday from the Economic Times. And again, I'm saying, you know, this is, I'm not suggesting this is terrorism. I'm saying that my heart goes out to the people who live there because they're probably feeling very scared today, thinking that you know, it was just 2015 when they had this big attack in Paris. From London, reporting that the Islamic State terror group is plotting deadly attacks across Europe along the lines of the one which carried out on a concert hall in Paris in which 130 people were killed 4 years ago. The November 2015 Paris attacks were a series of coordinated terror attacks in Paris in the city's northern suburb of Saint-Denis. In those attacks, three suicide bombers struck outside the French stadium during a football match, followed by several mass shootings and a suicide bombing at restaurants. A total of 130 people were killed at the concert hall. Documents seen by the Sunday Times of London reveal detailed plans of terrorist attacks in Europe and the Middle East, funded and controlled by ISIS leaders who are actively planning to recreate the Paris-style attacks of November of 2015. Quote, the operations in Europe were only a fraction of the plans outlined in the documents, which were found on a hard drive dropped by members of an ISIS cell in a firefight near the militants' final stronghold in Syria earlier this year. The documents provide details of how, even with its so-called caliphate destroyed in Syria, the ISIS terror group continues to run sophisticated international networks, move fighters over borders, fund operations, and plan bank robberies, vehicle rammings, assassinations, and computer hacking. Again, I am not in any way suggesting this is terrorism, and nobody should, because we have no reason to think that. But I think you'd also be foolish to think it's not possible, given the fact of what's happened in Paris and Europe in general in the last couple of years. So I would think that Parisians today and French people in general are probably very, very concerned, very scared by this, I would think. So that said, you know, when Shepard Smith just shuts down a French person, I get offended by that, because I think, you know, man, like, no offense, but you're not there, you're here, you're in New York, and that guy's over there, and probably scared out of his mind, and probably dealing with the reality of the situation of seeing the newspapers that you're not seeing, which is reporting on this stuff. You know, be like if yesterday the New York Times on the Sunday Times talked about ISIS planning attacks in America, and then the next day something like this happens in your country, you're going to turn around and go, is that what this is? It's a legitimate point. I mean, it's a legitimate question to ask, right? I mean, so literally yesterday, the Times of London ran that story about these plans against European cities by ISIS, and then this happens today. And so people rightly say, is that what this is? Not suggesting it is, and no one should, because it's also incredibly possible that this was just an accident. A very, very sad, sad accident. And I hope to God it is. I really do. I pray to God it's just an accident. My God, I would hate for it to be something worse than that. Because that even obviously opens up Pandora's box in an even bigger and scarier way for all of us. But to just dismiss people who question that, you know, is just, I think, nuts. Unfortunately, religious institutions are targeted, and usually if it is deliberate, they're usually done by people who are doing it because it is a religious symbol. You know, we just had a guy who was arrested for burning down historically black churches in America, and you know, we know that if a mosque was attacked today, or if I should say if a mosque was burning down, you know, and people were questioning, right? I mean, you know that there would be people questioning that. What happened? Is this a hate crime? Is this, you know, Islamophobia? And I think that that's just normal for people to raise those kind of questions. So I particularly didn't like the fact that, you know, if you even question these things taking place, that you're lectured to. But let's just hope and pray it's not. And let's just hope and pray it was just a damn fluke accident. And let's hope and pray they can save what they can of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. We'll continue to give you updates, obviously, throughout the afternoon. We won't speculate on anything, because there's no reason to. And I want to say that again. There is no reason to speculate on anything. It should not be done, because we don't know. But that also includes not speculating that it is just an accident either, because we don't know that. So I can't stop eating this amazing pizza. Thanks again to Papa Mario. Papa Mario sent us two pies today. Two old-fashioned Sicilian-style pizzas. Really tomato pies. One top with our homemade Sicilian red roasted peppers. That was so nice. I can't. I wanted to not eat pizza today.
It's addictive.
It's addictive.
Delicious.
Delicious. Papa Mario's Pizza in Haddon Heights, New Jersey. Thank you, buddy. It says, even though Mario was a police officer for most of his life, he grew up in the pizza business. Born in Catania, Sicily. And the family's first pizzeria was in Manhattan in 1956. And now it's in Haddon Heights, New Jersey, on the Black Horse Bike. Look at that. Beautiful. What a success story. Well, thank you, Paisan. Grazie, grazie. Delicious. All right. Now that I'm full. Oh, man. Too, and we're supposed to be eating fish and salad tonight and be all healthy. I just shoved my two pieces of pizza in my face. Man. The stress, Dawn, of the burning cathedral, Dawn. That's what it is. The stress. I can't handle it.
It is. And the aftermath of Game of Thrones, that too.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
There wasn't enough sex, though, in it last night, I thought.
I was glad because, and don't judge me, but we let the boys watch.
You let your boys watch Game of Thrones?
Yep.
Amazing. Were they bubble wrapped sufficiently enough? Their eyes covered?
Yeah, during the scene, the one scene with some boobies, covered that up.
This is what it was like watching the show with her boys last night. It was like this. Ready? Michael and David, ready to watch? Okay. Okay, cover your eyes. Cover your eyes. Earmuffs. Cover your eyes. Earmuffs. Earmuffs. Okay, you can watch. Cover your eyes. Earmuffs. Earmuffs. Earmuffs now. Earmuffs. I'm muting it. I'm muting it. Change the channel real quick. Change the channel. Okay, it's back on. Okay, dragon. You can watch the dragon. Okay, no. Eyes. Earmuffs. 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 Eyes. Close your eyes. Eyes. That must have been a lot of fun for everybody. For an hour. That was for an hour.
Nobody actually saw anything.
Nothing. No. Dawn kept turning the TV off. Okay, I'm just going to pause this part. Go out of the room. Come back.
There was really only that one scene. That was
only that one scene.
With, what's his name? Braun?
Braun? Bran?
Braun. Not Bran. Braun.
Not Bran. Braun. If you haven't watched it, it's a real good show. And I was thinking about this last night, too. I mean, this is the last season of Game of Thrones. It's been on 8 seasons,
yes.
Right?
But aren't they going to do a prequel next?
Are they?
Like, yes. Star Wars?
Yes, they are.
Oh, God.
So it's going to go on forever. Like, the Game of Thrones universe is going to go on forever because they know they have a cash cow here.
They do have a cash cow.
Or a cash dragon, as it were.
Cash dragon. Boom. See what you did there? I was thinking, though, you know, when a series ends, you realize, my God, like 8 years of my life just went by. You know, you think about it that way. I remember when Sopranos had the last show.
Yes.
And then now it's like the last Game of Thrones episode. And so if you start to think of your life in terms of, like, the Avengers, this is the last Avengers movie this summer.
Allegedly.
And I remember when Iron Man came out. And now here we are at the last Avengers movie. So if you look at your life in terms of that, you go, have I just wasted 8 years of my life?
No, you create
waiting
memories.
For this moment.
You yes. don't watch yes. this. No, you don't watch this stuff alone. You watch it with your friends, your family, the Zioli Army. We talk about it all.
It's true.
So it's all the memories.
You're right. These are pivotal moments.
Memories. Watching superhero movies. Oh my God.
Amazing. Amazing. The memories. She's like, it's like she plays that song too from Bette Midler, you know, that memory song, or Barbara Streisand. As she plays the clips of people in Game of Thrones getting stabbed yeah. through the heart and their heads cut off. She's like, oh, these moments that bring us all together. What was I? Oh, yeah. So Mrs. Rush baby says, Rich, you're making me so hungry with Mario's pizza, but I thought you don't eat gluten. I eat lots of gluten. I get gluten injections, actually. I gave up gluten for like 10 minutes, but then I thought, I'm not living my life this way. It's not worth it. I'd rather die. So I'm eating it again. And I don't know how you make good pizza without gluten-free. I don't know how you do it.
Rice crust.
Yeah. You know what makes really good rice crust?
Rice.
Right. You know what else is really good to use with rice? Putting it at the bottom of like cat litter and also weddings, you throw rice. Those are better uses of rice than pizza. What else makes a good pizza? Oh, cauliflower.
Yes, cauliflower pizzas. It's terrible.
So I saw today, I think it was our friend Diana had this on her Instagram. She said, if cauliflower can be pizza, you can be anything.
It's true.
You could be anything you want.
Yes.
I love it.
If a cauliflower can identify as pizza, you can be anything you want to be in life, all right? So Christy coming to town Thursday night. Big night. It's the day the Mueller report's going to be released. I'm sure the Gov will have a lot to say. Dawn, it's almost like, what do they call that? Kismet, right? That the Gov is going to be there Thursday night, the day it's released.
The day.
The day.
I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better news day. I mean, you know, slow news day, Gov. What's going on?
Yeah, what's
I
going
guess
on,
you can talk
man?
To him about his favorite pizza, right?
We're going to talk about Game of Thrones with the Gov. So over the weekend, he was on with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos and Rahm Emanuel, the Democrat mayor of Chicago. So the two of them, the two Democrats versus Chris Christie, who was discussing the spying that happened against the president.
It was a counterintelligence investigation. It was approved by the courts. There was no spying. This was approved by the courts here.
Well, that is spying.
No. National security briefings.
It's the unbiased journalist calling it right up the middle right there. That's not spying.
Approved by the courts here. Having sat through national security briefings, having sat through in the Situation Room, this was a loaded term used for loaded impact.
Illegal spying, by the way. There's legal spying and illegal spying. The Attorney General didn't make any opinion on that, George, on whether it was legal or illegal.
I guess spying generally has a negative.
The term was selected.
It's electronic surveillance that the person who's being surveilled doesn't know that they're being surveilled. I mean, what do you call that? It's another adjective. Now, if he said it was illegal spying, he would have been out of line because he doesn't have the conclusion to do that yet. But
it's all court.
That's what
I think
is.
The Democrats are so busy being word police on this, they're losing sight of the fact as to what the governor said. There's legal and illegal types of spying, and that's the question that Mueller, that Barr wants to get to, and others want to get to.
That's not spying, silly governor. The unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos. Guy never ceases to amaze me. He really doesn't. Joe is in North Wales. Joe, go ahead.
I just want to remind everybody that Shep Smith was one who speculated that people were eating each other in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. So,
was he really?
Using that, he's lecturing people about speculating on the Notre Dame fire.
Oh, that's great. Well, he learned his lesson from speculating that everybody became cannibal zombies.
Exactly.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Barbara's in South Jersey. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Rich. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hi, so I wanted to make a comment going way back to Notre Dame. I don't know if you know this, but Notre Dame in the United States burned down too. And Father Soren, instead of being discouraged and leaving it that way, prayed. And then he said it was a message from Mary and God that he should rebuild it bigger. So kind of a little hopeful story there.
Very nice. That's nice. They should rebuild this, I would hope. They say that the cathedral towers are saved. So that's a good update that just came in a few minutes ago. So that's good.
That would be great.
Yes. But colossal damage. But to your point, it can certainly be rebuilt. And thank God they saved a lot of it. Barbara, thank you for that very uplifting point. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Sorry, I'm just so full right now. Pizza. I feel fat, but it's a good fat. It's a happy fat. Speaking of that, Thursday night, Chris Christie will be our event. Speaking of George Stephanopoulos, what do you mean? What were you implying?
I didn't know where you were going with this.
Oh.
Because you just said I... Okay.
I feel pretty... So pretty.
Oh my God. There's no reason.
1210 WPHG.com/speaker series for our big event with the governor. Get your tickets now. Cher blocked me on Twitter. We don't know why. We were really going to spend more time on that today, but then this inconvenient cathedral fire happened, so we really shifted gears. But otherwise, the whole plan was to spend 3 hours trying to analyze what I did to Cher. Why she blocked me? Nobody, I can't figure it out. What did I do?
You've never tweeted at her?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't know what I did to Cher.
She
blocked me.
Maybe she was in town for something and she listened and you were calling her
crazy?
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. Because words are like weapons, Dawn. They wound sometimes.
Well, especially if you are, okay, here's the thing. If you are something and somebody calls you that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, they take it very personally.
If you are crazy, yeah, then...
But Dawn, if I could turn back time, I would take back those words that hurt her and she'd stay and unblock me. If I could reach the stars, Dawn.
Well, maybe she still will unblock you.
There's hope if I can turn back time. All right. Glad you are with us today. The Zioli Show. Appreciate it very much. Excuse me. Just digesting Papa Mario's pizza. It's not going down well. Because I'm... talking. That's why you should never talk and eat. Those peppers are really good, though. Those homemade Sicilian peppers.
Yes. Mm.
Can we do, because what you just said kind of goes with Who on Twitter. Can we do that now?
You are the executive producer, Greg Stocker, so go with it.
I would just like to keep the theme of the show, so let me do this.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Human Proofer, who says, Zioli, snacking while Notre Dame burned.
Because it gave me an appetite, the stress of watching the cathedral burn made me hungry.
Like Nero.
Like Nero, I fiddled and fiddled. ate pizza. Well, thank you for that tweet. Yes. Congratulations on you win the cathedral burning edition. I don't know.
Venezuelan buffet.
Venezuelan buffet. Yeah. Excellent Twitter name. The good news, though, is that they think that they've saved it. Tweeting out now that all the artwork has been saved, the treasures of the cathedral intact, the crown of thorns, the holy sacraments. All saved. So it's a good ending to a very, very tough day and tough night in Paris, that's for sure. And of course around the world. So thank God for that. That is huge. That is really good. That's amazing work by the firemen and first responders. Unbelievable work, right? God bless those guys and gals who are doing all that. Man, what a tough job that is, right?
Thankless job. Yeah.
Yes, very thankless job indeed. And they, I can only imagine how hard that must have been to put that fire, to contain that fire, you know? Yeah. That's very, very good news. All right. So the vampiric one was on 60 Minutes last night. You know, Dawn, the Kingslayer is a major character on Game of Thrones, obviously.
Yes.
And 60 Minutes was competing with Game of Thrones, so they decided to begin with, I think, a little Game of Thrones, like a nod to Game of Thrones, as they introduced the vampiric one. This is Leslie Stahl and the gang at 60 Minutes calling it right up the middle. Take a listen.
At the State of the Union, she did her mocking clap, and it went viral. Now, if you go to her own campaign website, you'll see she's touting herself as the patron saint of shade.
And this is your new branding of Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, maybe. Kind of like a giant slayer almost, or muscular.
I think that I happen to be a manifestation of the women power that is coming forth now, but only one manifestation.
Welcome to the Capitol.
Today, she's a more self-assured Nancy Pelosi, more willing to promote herself.
And I think I'm the best person to go forward.
She told us that our democratic values are being threatened and says unabashedly that she is the right person to stand up for them.
She is the giant slayer, the patron saint of shade.
The patron saint of shade.
I'm the most capable, experienced. She's very experienced.
Well, she should not have said the manifestation.
Oh, you're right. That's the personification. Oh, you know, speaking of that, by the way, Netflix is having a hissy fit today. Quick PSA, they tweet out. Can we stop calling films chick flicks unless the films are literally about small baby chickens? Here's why this phrase should absolutely be retired. How about we retire Netflix over this? Because there are chick flicks and there are guy flicks. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes. There are absolutely chick flicks, like that dumb movie Love Actually, which if you watch as a guy and you like it, you're either lying, you're not straight, which again, I'm not judging, or C, you have the worst taste in movies. Yeah. It's one or the other. It could be a combination of things.
Love Actually is the one with Rick from The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
right?
it's the worst movie ever made in the history of chick flick movies.
Andrew Lincoln.
There are some good chick flick movies that I like, but, you know, not really. I think when I was dating, I liked them.
Yeah.
I don't watch them now.
Exactly.
Netflix tweets, for starters, chick flicks are traditionally synonymous with romantic comedies.
Yuck.
This suggests that women are the only people interested in one romance and two comedy, which I can promise from the men I've come across in my life simply isn't true. I don't think chick flicks are comedies. I think rom-coms are comedies. I think chick flicks are things like beaches.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which if you like beaches and you're a guy, you're either A, lying, you're either B, gay and lying, or C, you have terrible taste in movies.
Even gay people don't like beaches.
But there's not a gay guy in the world who likes beaches. So that's the thing right there. You are lying. That's a chick flick, not a rom-com. A rom-com would be like When Harry Met Sally, or...
Which is a great movie.
But they list The Devil Wears Prada as
a chick flick. That's a chick flick.
Really?
Yes. Have you ever seen it?
Yes. It's definitely a chick flick.
100% chick flick, right?
My husband liked that one, though.
No, he told you he did. Okay. He was lying to you about that. Just like I told my wife I liked it, too. The same thing.
But, I'm sure that you loved the Ben Affleck was in He's Just Not That Into You.
No, I didn't see that one. Wait, he was in that one?
I never saw that. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Ben Affleck was in that one.
He ruined that rom-com Jiggly.
Oh, Jiggly, yes.
Jiggly. Then Netflix tweets, there aren't specific sweeping categories specific to men. You don't hear people asking to watch man movies. Instead, pretty much every intersection of genre is on the table and seen as for men, except, of course, the aforementioned rom-coms. First of all, I think rom-coms are great.
Yes.
Chick flicks are terrible. And guy movies are guy movies that my wife has no interest in watching.
Amen.
And I watch them without her because they're guy movies.
There are 100% guy movies. War movies and stuff like that. Yes, my wife is like, yeah, this is a guy movie. I don't want to watch it.
If I turn on Rambo Part 2 tonight, Bridget is going in the other room.
See, I love the Rambo movies.
Well, you're very different, though. You're very special in that regard.
She is. She is. We love her.
But if it could be like we had a choice and we could both go to a different movie, she'd pick Love Actually and I'd go see Rambo or First Blood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would go see Rambo with you.
See that? That's why we love you, dog. That's why we love you.
But do you think Titanic was a chick flick?
I think Titanic was a bad flick.
Yeah, it was.
An overrated bad flick.
Yeah. So I'm looking at what they're listing.
What else do they list on there?
I've never seen these movies.
Oh, we're out of time.
Oh, geez, damn it. 58.
To be continued. So long as there isn't another massive fire tomorrow.
Yeah. CLE 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.